You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. After the bubble and the crash, the housing market is in a profoundly different place. This week, we asked our community, both listeners and online, about your experiences in the new normal housing market. What's it like to try to buy or sell now? Before we bring in our guest, I want to listen to one person's experience.
I'm Jake. I just closed on a house yesterday. I'm just overwhelmed. I just spent my life savings on this ridiculous down payment. I mean, I didn't have to go into my retirement accounts, which was really good. But, you know, this is Los Angeles, so the house was $1.2 million, and the minimum down payment is 20%, and then you have to have all this money left over. So I had, like, exactly what the down payment was, and then, you know, I wish I'd had it 2 years ago, but I just didn't have it. And my feeling is it's only going to go up from here. We're pretty much back to where we were in 2007. You know, I'm 36 years old, and the last time that it was really a good time to buy a house was I was like 22 years old. You know, I didn't have that kind of money. I also didn't know that they were just giving it away. I didn't know that I didn't have to make a down payment.
I want to bring in a real estate expert. She's Susan Wachter. She's a professor of real estate and finance at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to Marketplace Weekend.
Thank you.
Susan Wachter, I want to get your take on Jake's story because it sounds so reflective of this new normal that we're currently in, a 20% down payment, a house that is quite expensive in a pretty hot housing market, Los Angeles, and a sense that we have ramped back up to a fairly hot and tight housing market. Does that feel to you like an accurate picture of at least where some housing markets in the U.S. are today?
Well, it certainly is an accurate representation of hot markets like Los Angeles. And the fact that prices have come back to the 2007 highs in markets like Los Angeles is daunting. Very difficult to get that down payment. So Jake's comments, of course, $1.2 million is a home that's way above the median house price. It's not representative of America as a whole. But even the representative home prices in the $200,000 range, 20% down, is daunting, impossible really for young folks just starting out, $40,000. You can get a 10% down payment, but just look at that. That's $20,000. Still a challenge.
I want to play some sound from a gentleman who got owner financing to buy his first house. And he actually ended up doing something different for his second loan because, frankly, we're talking about very different credit markets these days. I want to listen to that.
David Rowley. The second loan was quite a bit harder. He had to give him tax returns, Bank of America. Lots of hoops to jump through to get that loan. I imagine today it's really difficult, though, unless you get pre-approved. They're going to be much more careful about lending money. I don't think they're going to lend 110% anymore on houses.
Susan Wachter, what do you think about the kind of lending standards we have seen post-crisis? Because there are arguments to be made that, gee, lending standards were really lax before the crisis, and yet at the same time that now, credit is so hard to get for a lot of people. Is there a median point that the country should try to hit?
You're not going to get 110% credit. And of course, those 110% loans without documentation are exactly what got us into the crisis. So no, we don't want to go back to that. But lenders have tightened up. Standards have tightened up way beyond where they were in the periods of the run-up to the crisis, as well they should. But they've gone beyond that. So if you compare credit standards today to where they were 2001, which is a period way before the crisis, when we had actually 2001 earlier decades of lending that was reasonable, responsible, sustainable, we're not there yet again. We're still, standards have eased up slightly over this past year, but they're far tighter than historically were the norm. So why is that? In part, it's because of the experience of lenders that if they make a mistake on the loan, that loan's coming back to them. Reps and warranties are going to prevail. So they're being extremely careful. We need a solution to that problem, and we're not there yet, but the solution that we have right now, which is keeping hundreds of thousands of people in rentership who would be sustainably be able to be homeowners, that solution is where we should be pushing towards.
I want to play some tape from a woman named Courtney who I think reflects that sense of frustration of someone who wants to buy but feels like she's stuck.
We talk about it constantly, like me and my boyfriend, what we can start saving for, and one day we will be able to buy one. He has a good job. If it were in my hands, no. I don't think I'd ever own a house out here. He says in like a year, maybe, we can start looking. I mean, we've got rejected from leasing houses just based on credit, but I have no idea. No idea.
What's the difference, do you think, between, you know, the ownership society and a society where a lot of Americans rent? Does that make a difference both macroeconomically and then to, say, the kind of neighborhoods that we raise our children in?
Absolutely. It makes a difference right now. This is the discouraging part of the recovery. Recovery is not as strong, particularly because housing, which is usually the leading sector, is lagging. The most recent number starts that are out point to still a construction industry that's far below the expected numbers at this point of the cycle, which basically means that we have fewer construction jobs. We also have the fewer jobs across the board in the industries that are related to home buying. There's a strong short-run macro effect that's being experienced. It's part of the reason why the recovery, although it's in place, is not as strong as has been expected. Secondly, the longer-run effects. Yes, absolutely, it's a very big issue as to whether people who want to be homeowners could be homeowners. If they save for a down payment, can't be. And this affects neighborhoods. There's good research out there that points to citizenship involvement in neighborhoods, which comes with homeownership. It affects children's education. Children who have a stability in their housing are able to stay in school as opposed to a renter cycle where there's often frequent moves. This is key for children's educational outcome. There are, more generally, in a bigger picture, in those markets that are going to recover and, in fact, expand and flourish, for families that have bought into those markets who are homeowners, well, their rent doesn't go up. Their rent doesn't go up because they're not renting. They're owners. And they can prosper in the community as a community prospers and contribute to the community as a community contributes to their wealth building. This is the story of the building of the American middle class. And it is something we must return to. We must recover going forward.
One last question for you. Warren Buffett gave an interview a while back in which he said, listen, I don't think the economy is really going to recover until housing does. I know you're probably not going to like me trying to get you to put a time frame on this, but when could you see housing really come back?
Well, I think housing is going to come back in the new normal frame within a year to 2 years. That's not the difficult question. The question of when will housing come back so it brings us to a traditional role in wealth building, in home ownership for families as they begin their family formation period, that's a much larger issue and one that I don't have an answer to.
Susan Wachter, professor of real estate and finance at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much.
Thank you.